brother read for us so eloquently from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Brother read it twice, so I'm going to follow him. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. From this verse, I would like for us to take as a topic for our sermon this morning, where are you when the battle gets hot? Where are you when the battle gets hot? Right now, as in our present day 2023, there's a war going on that we are familiar with in Ukraine and Russia. Many folks are fall victim to this war. Many folks are being displaced. Many folks lose their homes, their family, their lives, their country in this war. War is ugly. War is never a good thing. When you consider war, you immediately there's a certain fear that comes across you when you consider a war. Can you imagine us fighting a war here in Jamaica? Can you imagine we can't come to worship because there's a war going on? Can you imagine worshiping God becomes an obstacle because of a war? Oftentimes we don't think about these things because they're not right in front of our faces. But I put to you this morning, folks, that we are fighting a war this day. A war that we don't have a choice to win. A war that we must win. A war that oftentimes there's a draw, there's a pull within us. As to which side do you go on? But you know what, folks? Brethren, friends, brothers, sisters. We are not approaching this war like we're in a war. We are approaching this war lackadaisically. Take a word from Brother Mitchell's vocabulary. We are approaching this war with as little as possible meaning to us, as if this war don't it's not, we're not worried about this war. We're approaching this war as if this war don't concern us. We're approaching this war as if there's not a war going on. But my brother, as Peter wrote, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war, which what? Which play, which sit and have dinner with. No, which war against the soul. The flesh warreth against the soul. Oftentimes, folks, I don't know about you all, but for me sometimes, the flesh wins the war. Matter of fact, it win that battle at that time. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. Do you all know, folks, that we are all strangers traveling this land? But how often do we consider that we are not going to be here forever? How often do we consider that we are pilgrims passing through? We are passing through a war zone. How much baggage can you carry when you're going through a war zone? How much luggage can you carry when you're going through a war zone? What do you think about when you're going through a war zone? How do I save my life? How do I make it through this war without getting killed? How do I make it through this war without being a casualty of war? We mentioned that the pews are not as full as they're supposed to be. Oftentimes, not because of migration or folks not going to different congregations, but oftentimes some of the reason for folks not being here because they become casualty of war. They have fallen in the trench. They have gone to the other side. We are fighting in a war, brethren. Pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and commence reading at verse number 14. Peter, before we go over there, let's talk about Peter a little bit. Peter, let me tell you something about Peter. Jesus Christ, when he was with his apostles, he came to Simon. He said, Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may what? Sift you like wheat. You know, Peter was a disciple then. Peter was an apostle. And Jesus said to Simon, Simon, the devil have a desire. Satan have a desire. Satan have an appetite. And you're his appetite. Satan want to sift you like wheat. And he said to Simon, that he may sift you like wheat. But verse 32, but I have what? Prayed for thee. You see, folks, when you belong to Jesus, he prayed for you. When you belong to Jesus, he looked out for you. Remember now, Jesus came down from heaven, came from his Father. His Father sent him to do his will. When he came to this earth, he knew his Father. Nobody know God like Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed, past tense, for you. Huh? I have prayed for thee that thy faith may what? Fail not. You see, folks, as we fight this war, as we go through this battle, as we go through this fighting, our faith can fail us. Our faith can fail us. And we need prayers. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray. And listen, folks, when we pray, call the person by name. How often do you pray for Brother Myrie, Brother Fabian? How often do you pray for, oh, these men are strong, Brother Hyde. They don't need no prayer. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. The devil desire to sift Peter like wheat. What do you think he's going to do to little Myrie and little Fabian? Huh? But look at this now. Jesus said, and when thou art converted, and when thou art converted, that means, look, Peter, when you go through all of this, and when the devil don't beat you up, and when you realize where you're there, I want you to do something for me. What is this? What do you want me to do, Lord? Strengthen thy brethren. Peter, when you have been sifted like wheat, you're going to go through it, but you're going to come through. When you sift like wheat, strengthen the brethren. They're going to need you, Peter. I'm not going to be here, but you're going to be here. And Peter, when you get ready to leave, I want you to write something for me. So you can strengthen other people in Kingston, Jamaica. Not just those who you are talking to. Write for me, Peter. So folks at Patrick City can be strengthened as well. In 2 Peter 1, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. What did Peter say? I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. I'm not telling you nothing new, right? I'm going to remind you. Well, guess what, folks? This morning, I'm coming to remind you that we are in a war that oftentimes we take for granted. Oftentimes, we forget that we're fighting a war, and oftentimes, we drift to the other side. You say, Brother Hyde, that will never happen to me because I'm always going to be a Christian. I received the Lord. You can quote the date. And it will not happen to me, Brother Hyde. But guess what? We are sitting down stagnated in the Lord's church, doing nothing for God. But show up when it's possible. No sacrifice whatsoever. Wake up when I feel like. Get there when I feel like. I don't care what time they start. I'm going to get. Oh, am I stepping on somebody's toe? I'm sorry. Because oftentimes we forget we're fighting a war. And you know, folks, when we fight this war and folks around us, they're looking at you. And they're looking for you to fall. So they can point at you and say, Mavis, look. See, me that till a long time she was going, you know. So folks, as Christians, we have to represent God. Because we're fighting a war. Get to that passage for me, Romans chapter 7. Commence reading of verse number 14.
For we know.
Yes, we know. For we know.
That the law is spiritual.
The law is spiritual.
But I am carnal.
But Brother Paul said to the Romans, I am carnal.
Sold under sin.
Listen, folks. Brother Paul is saying, I was sold. Sold. Therefore, whoever you're sold to, you belong to them. And you're going to do what they tell you to do. You're going to operate the way they want you to operate. You don't control yourself anymore. Paul said, I am sold under sin. Read.
For that which I do. I allow not. For what I would. That do I not. But what I hate. That I do.
Verse 16.
If then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law. That it is good.
Now then, read.
Now then, it is no more.
I that do it. But sin that dwelleth in me. 18.
For I know that in me. That is in my flesh. Dwelleth no good thing. For to will. Is present with me.
Read.
But how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Read.
For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it.
But
sin that dwelleth in me.
It is, you notice Paul in verse 14 said, I am sold under sin. So what I'm doing, Paul said, what I'm doing is not me, is that what I want to do? That's not what I want to do, but I have to do what I'm sold to. I'm sold to sin. Folks, we're fighting a war. And we have to realize that this war we're fighting, we can lose that war. But you know what the good thing about this is? There is a cheat sheet for this war. There is a way that we can win this. We can go to this war and don't have to worry about losing the war. There's a way that we can get to the end, get to where we're going safely. No matter what happened around us. There's a way. We're going to get to it, folks. We're going to get to it. Read verse 21, my brother.
I find then a law.
That when I would do good.
Evil is present with me.
Read.
For I delight in the law of God.
We're going to 25. For I delight in the law of God.
After the inward man. But I see another law in my members.
You see, the brother said, I delight in the law of God. Right? But I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. So here, Brother Paul is telling us there's a fight going on. There's a war going on. And ask the question, folks, where are we when the battle gets hot? Because you see, folks, this war is going to get hot. Your heart might not be my heart. But one day, Brother Myrie, it's going to get hot. The question is posed, where will you be when the battle gets hot? Will you say, Lord, I can't go to church today? Will you say, Lord, I have to give up on Christianity for now? What will we do when the battle gets hot? Read some more, my brother.
Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Look, folks, and bringing me. Do you know what happened when, I won't say when the Ukraine captured a Russian soldier. I say when a Russian captured a Ukraine soldier, they're in captivity. If you're in captivity, you can't request something what you want to eat. You can't go where you want to go. You're in captivity. Not only are you in captivity, and when you're in captivity, they can do with you whatever they choose. And there's nothing you can do when you're captured by the enemy. So we were talking about Ukraine and Russia. But think about when we as Christians, in this war that we're fighting, when our flesh and our desires are fighting against the soul that is of God, right? The flesh that is fighting against this part of us that is spiritual. And we have to fight every day. What happened when we let our guards down? What happened when comes a day when we get injured? Because every soldier, once you're on that battlefield, darts are being hurled at you. Shots are being fired at you. You might step on mine. You might get blown up. What happened when we are injured? What happened when a sister falls down? And another sister is seeing her on the ground. Oh, look, Mavis fall down and walk well far. Conduct. How do I conduct myself in that situation? Stop what you're doing. Help that sister up. Instead of talking, hey, we help the person who fall down so we can lift that person up. Because one day you're going to step on a mine too. One day you're going to walk on a mine that you didn't see. One day you're going to get captured. You're going to want somebody to come free you. Let's read some more, my brother.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Who shall deliver me?
Good question, Brother Paul. What a beautiful question. Who? Is there a deliverance this morning? Can I be delivered from this war? Out of this war, out of this situation, can I be delivered? Who shall deliver me? Who? Is there anybody that can deliver me? Yes, there is. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left heaven. Jesus Christ came to earth to make sure that as pilgrims, strangers, traveling through this life, that we can make it back to our Father. Jesus Christ said, look, I go to prepare a place for you. First of all, he said, in my Father's house, there are many what? Mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. So whatever war we're going through, folks, whatever fight you're going through, you're going to be with Jesus also. If we prevail to the end. There's nothing the devil can do. Nothing. To take us away from God if we don't give him the chance to do so. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this debt? Verse 25.
I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I thank God through Jesus Christ. I thank God. Thanksgiving must be given to God Almighty that I provide a way for deliverance for every individual in this world. Whosoever will may come. As we go through this war, folks, lean on Jesus. Let Jesus be your friend. Listen, whichever side Jesus is on, that's the side that's going to win. You don't believe me? Ask David. If you don't believe me on David, ask Goliath. Whatever side Jesus is on, that's the winning side, folks. Is there a clue somewhere there? Yeah. Be on the side. Unless you want to just lose the war. Unless you want to be lost. But make sure you're on the side that Jesus is on. Because he's gone to prepare a place. Jesus never lied to nobody. He said, I'm gone to prepare a place. We read Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. He said, look, where I am, there you will be. There you may be also. Who wants to go be with Jesus? Anybody? Well, let's fight this war like we're fighting a war. Come to the war prepared. As we talk about prepare for the war, go over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's commence reading at verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10.
Finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord.
And in the power of his might.
And in the power of his might.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Put on the whole armor of God.
That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Brother Paul is saying, put on. How much of the armor should we put on? The whole light. Oftentimes, you know, folks, we get so complacent and so comfortable wearing some of the armor. Christians often get complacent and comfortable wearing incomplete armor. My brother Paul ought to know. He said, put on the entire armor of God. Why, brother Paul? Why do I have to carry all this heavy weight around with me? Brother Paul, why I don't need it today? Why do I need it? I can just put there's a shield alone. Leave the helmet off. Leave the breastplate of righteousness. Leave that off, brother Paul. Where I'm going today, I don't need it. Yes, you do. Put on the whole armor of who? Of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why, brother Paul? That he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil, whatever strategy the devil comes up with, you need to put the armor on so when he comes, you can go through it. The entire armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let's talk a little bit about wrestling. Anybody here watch wrestling when you ain't got nothing to do? When you feel bored? WWE or whatever it might be? Do they stand like 20 feet from each other? No, it's a close contact. It's fighting closely. We wrestle not against somebody you can see, flesh and blood, but against what? Against what?
Against principalities.
Against principalities, something else.
Against powers.
Against what?
Powers.
Powers. Can you imagine, folks? Little me, I try to wrestle against powers. Powers where?
Powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness.
Where?
In high places.
Folks, do you see some of those ammunition that we're fighting against? and then we're not going to put on the whole armor, folks, we're going to be in trouble. Because what we're fighting against, what we're fighting closely, because it's wrestling, we're fighting what we can't see. And for us to win this battle, we need somebody who knows how to get through this war. We need somebody to take us through. We need somebody to reach out to when we fall down. We need somebody with the power, dunamis, to help us fight these powers that we can't see. Folks, Christians, friends, brothers, sisters, this is a serious war we're fighting. We ought not to approach this war thinking that I'm okay. We will lose our souls. Many Christians, many members have fallen victim, casualty to the devil and his trickery. We need to realize where we are. We need to realize, and listen, folks, listen. Sometimes we look around and we say, well, I'm doing all right. I'm doing good with this war. I'm fighting good. And let me tell you what, don't get complacent. Look around for somebody who's not doing so well in the war. Go over and help them. Brother, you can do it. I know you're not, you can, come on, let's go, I'll help you. Put the hand around your shoulder. Walk with me, use my feet. We have to help each other, folks. As we go through this war, we cannot go through this war alone. We need each other. Folks, I couldn't be where I am right now without members around me. I couldn't. So if we think we're going to go through this war by ourselves, you ever hear the devil wants to separate us so he can get each individual by themselves so he can conquer each one at a time, one by one. Oftentimes, the devil won't come to church, though. Because if he come here or when he come here, we will gather up together and defeat him. He'll wait till you all go through that door. And when you go home, and he tell you, don't go back. You don't need to go back there. Okay, I can't stop you from going. Okay, go late anyway. Step in when there's only 10 minutes leave. He'll tell you, don't go to Sunday school. Not necessary. Let brother Myrie alone go. Folks, Sunday school get me to where I'm at right now. This very passage we're reading from Ephesians 6, verse 10. Brother Gilbert, under the almond tree. Oh, you say, Brother Hyde, there's no almond tree around there. That's what you think. You can't convince me there's an almond tree back there. We sat on chairs under that almond tree, and we studied this very verse. In Sunday school. Sunday school get me to where I'm at. So when we grown people just tell us, well, I don't need to go to Sunday school. And then, but guess what? You have kids, right? You have kids. You have children. So if you don't go, they ain't going to go come by themselves. So when they don't come, you don't go, they don't come, the devil win. Let me tell you how the devil win. Because they're this tall now. But one day they're going to be this tall. And then what they need to keep them here when they're this tall, where they should have gotten when they were this tall, they didn't get it. Sunday school. I don't need it, Brother Hyde. I know you don't. But the kids need it. And we have to set an example for the kids. Brother Mitchell talk about my mama. Can you imagine if my mama never make sure I go to Sunday school? Put on the whole armor of God that it might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, verse 13,
Wherefore,
read.
Take unto you
the whole armor of God,
that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
If we have time, we would have preached on the evil day, but we won't stop there. That it might be able to what?
Stand,
right. Verse 14.
Stand therefore.
Having your loins
girt about with truth.
Hold a second, my brother. Sunday school is where we get truth. How are you going to gird your line if you ain't got one of the armor to gird it? You ain't got truth. Listen, this sermon alone can't help you. This sermon, me preaching from here, Brother Mitchell preaching from whoever preached, that alone can't help you. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. Who should study, Brother Hyde? All of us. Because there are some things that if we don't study, we cannot fight against. We need our loins girt about with truth. And if your loins are weak, folks, you can't walk. We can't walk to the battlefield to fight. We can't walk to a study. We can't walk to tell folks that Jesus loves you. But there's something you must do to show the world that Jesus loves you and you love Jesus. We can't walk to do that. Amen, walls. I'm not stepping on our toe, folks. I'm not stepping on our toe. I'm just preaching the gospel. Just preaching the gospel. We are in a war, folks. Where are you when the battle gets hot? Where will you be when the battle gets hot? We are to approach this like a war, like a serious war, that we can lose our souls. And when you lose your soul, guess what? We lose everything. Everything we're holding on to right now, so tight you don't want to let go of. When you lose your soul, you lose everything. Where will we be when the battle get hot? Let's read some more, my brother.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
How are you gonna put on a gospel of peace when we don't know the gospel? We have to get ourselves in a position where we know the gospel. Matter of fact, folks, we have to get in a position. You see the scripture I read about Peter, the devil decided to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. We need passages like those so we can be encouraged. So we can say, Peter, the Lord prayed for Peter, yes. And in John 17, he prayed for all of us. Need a prayer for these alone. But for everyone who will. We need passages like those. How are you going to know them if you don't study them? Read some more, my brother.
Above all, taking the shield of faith.
We need that shield, folks. You see, in all of this, folks, in all of this, why is Brother Paul telling us to take on all these fighting equipment if we're not going to fight? Why are we supposed to take on all these armor if we're not going to fight? Is it just for it to look on for show? No. No, we are in a war, folks. At the end of Brother Paul's life, what did he say? I have what? I have played a good game. I have fought. Not fighting. I have fought a good fight. I have what? Kept the faith. Henceforth what? There's laid up for me a what? A crown of righteousness. He said something else after that. Which the Lord, but not to me only. But not to me only. But everybody who will fight that good fight. Fight that good fight. Folks, we need to fight that good fight. Where will you be when the war gets hot? Let's close this sermon. Turn with me up. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 6. 2 Timothy 4, we just quoted, but let's just go over there so we can make sure that what we're saying was what's supposed to be there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8.
For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand.
My brother Paul says, I am ready. Listen, folks, if you're not ready, don't say you're ready. Paul was ready, and he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to what? For I am now ready.
To be offered. And the time of my departure.
The time of my departure is?
Is at hand.
Paul knew that his end was close by. He knew he was about to face death. And Paul says, look, I'm ready. How many of us can say like Brother Paul, I'm ready? You see, folks, before we can say we're ready, there's something we must do. Read the next verse.
I have fought a good fight.
You see the point? When we have fought a good fight, folks, we can easily say, I'm ready. When we have fought a good fight, we can easily say, I am ready. Let us not sit up inside here and say, I'm ready, when we know we have not fought a good fight. Let's not sit up in here and say, I am ready, when we know when the fight was going on, we were hiding. Let's not sit up inside here and say, we are ready, when the fight was going on, we were running the other way. We have to be there fighting. Amen. No matter what happened to us in that fight. Yes. Don't matter what. Fight. And whatever happened to you in that fight, while you're fighting, at the end you can say, I am ready. Amen. I am ready. Amen. The time of my departure is what?
Is at hand.
Read.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course.
You see, folks? Many of us go through school here, and we have different courses, and you're midway through your course, you expect to get a good grade, you're 90% of your course finished, you expect to get a good grade, you have to do what? You have to finish, Brother Meyer. We have to finish the course. A lot of times, folks, we as Christians, we start that course, but we drop out. We can't say we're ready. We didn't finish. When everybody is wearing the graduation gown and the hat, you didn't get any because you didn't finish. How is it going to look on that day when we see brother, dad, and sister, and we get no crown? No crown for me because I didn't finish. Read the rest of that verse, my brother.
I have kept the faith.
For us to get that crown, folks, we must do what? Keep the faith. Paul was at the end of his journey. He said, I've kept. We need to keep. You see, a lot of folks might be saying, Brother Hyde, I kept the faith. You're in the wrong boat. You need to keep the faith. Brother Hyde, I've been a member of the church so long. I've done enough. No, you haven't. If you're still breathing breath, if there's still warm blood in your vein, we need to keep on fighting. Amen. Fight. Read some more, my brother.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness.
Yes, read.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day.
You see, folks, it depends on who you're getting that crown from. The righteous judge. But remember now, folks, that righteous judge is going to give it to me today. I learned this right here from this pulpit. Today, he's your savior. Amen. But then, he's going to be your judge. Amen. And then, he's going to give you that crown if we have kept the faith. What verse was that, my brother?
Verse 8,
you didn't finish it? You finish verse 8?
No.
Finish it, please.
And not to me only.
Ah, that's a good part. Here comes our part now, folks. Read.
And not to me only.
Not to me only.
But unto all them.
Unto all. Can you imagine if we stop at just that all? No, it didn't stop there. unto all them that what?
That also love his appearing.
That also love his appearance. Anybody here not a part of those that love his appearance? Fight the good fight. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Where will you be when the battle gets hot? Because it's going to get hot, folks. The battle is going to get hot. We're going to feel like we can't go on no more. We're going to feel like I've lost all my strength. We're going to feel like I lost too much blood. I can't continue. Where will you be when the battle showed up at your house? Where will you be when the devil knocked on your door and said, today is your day to fight? You're going to solo today. Where will you be? Let's close. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Hebrews 13, verse number 5, and we close. Let your manner of living, let your way of life
be without covetousness.
Be without covetousness.
And be content.
And be content
with such things as ye have.
And be content with such things as ye have.
For he hath said.
For he had said,
I will never leave thee.
I will what?
Never leave thee.
I will never leave you. Brethren, friends, Jesus Christ made us a promise. Whatever we're going through, he said, I will never leave you. And you know what, folks? I know he's not lying. I know he's telling the truth. But all we have to do, folks, is fight that good fight. So we can be partakers of that promise. I will never leave you. Sickness, I will never leave you. Broke, no money, I will never leave you. Homeless, I will never leave you. Wifeless, I will never leave you. Husbandless, childrenless, you name it. God will never leave you. If we fight that good fight. Verse number 6, I will close.
So that we may boldly say.
So that we may boldly say.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is what?
My helper.
Who need a helper today? Anybody need a helper today? I know I do. I need a helper today. I need a helper in going through this war. I need a helper as I fight this fight. And I know one person who can help us. One person said, I will never leave you. And look, he said, he's going to be your helper. But to get that helper, folks, you know what? It's free, oh. You ain't got to pay for it. All he said is, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Folks, Jesus is calling. He's calling you this morning. He's telling you, look, there's a war going on, and I can see you through it. Amen. How, Lord? How can you see me? What qualify you to take me through this war, Lord? Because I've been there. I've been in that war. I came through. They crucified me. They nailed my hands. They spear me in the side, from which came blood and water. That blood that came from my side is the saving blood for everybody who believe in me. All you have to do is come. Come believe in. Come believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Come believe in that Jesus Christ is able to save your soul. Come repenting, turning away from sin, giving up the world. Say, Lord, I've come to you. Will you take me? Come confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Galatians 3:27, baptism puts us where? Into Christ. Folks, once you're in Christ, the devil cannot take you out unless you allow him to. Unless you take that armor off. I told you there was a cheat sheet. Jesus Christ, folks, is the cheat sheet. If you're here this morning, you're a member of the Lord's church, you've been fighting that war, but you have gotten injured. You have fallen by the wayside. Your faith have been shaken. You have dropped some of your armor. This is the time for us to take it up again. This is the time to call on your helper. Help me, Lord. Help me. You remember Peter? When the Lord was walking on the water and he kept his eye on Jesus, when he took his eye off, he started sinking, and he said, Lord, help me. What did Jesus do? You're a fault with the little go walk on water. No, he helped him. Same way he helped Peter. The same way he prayed for Peter, folks. He'll help everybody here present this morning. Every last person. Where will you be when the battle gets hot? We're going to sing a song, or a verse or two of a song, folks. If you're subject to this invitation in any way, don't wait, don't sit, come forth. Come to Jesus. He's calling you right now. Let us stand.
253. 253. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.